Thank you and welcome to all the graduates, their families, their friends, the faculty and staff, president, board, provost, everyone. What a great day to come and celebrate. When I got the invitation, I had to wonder why me? And then I realized, oh, you probably want Netflix recommendations on what to watch. So Adam Sandler, new movie, Hustle, about breaking into the NBA, and Heartstopper, British teen romance, so sweet. And best of all, both are safe to watch with your parents this weekend. Now that we've got the important business over with, let's talk a little about how the world changes. The changes to the world since Stanford was founded have been tremendous, and it's only going to speed up. So that gives you a lot of opportunity and a lot of risk for you and humanity. As the world speeds up, will our wax wings melt? Or will we bend the arc of the moral universe towards justice? To think about that, let's look at the past. It seems to me the two most powerful drivers of change have been invention and stories. Inventions, meaning broadly all of science and technology, are the most obvious way society moves forward. Think about the agricultural hoe, the wheel, electricity, discovery of DNA, the internet. It's all amazing. Positive inventions, large and small, have improved our lives. And of course, there are some negative and destructive inventions, like chemical weapons. But for the most part, inventions give us more light. I've always been drawn to inventions. Sometimes it hasn't really worked out. When I was a grad student here 35 years ago, it was the era of desktop computers. So our hands went back and forth between the keyboard and the mouse, a lot of typos introduced. It was slow. And so I had a great idea. The foot mouse. I was going to build a company to develop a mouse for your foot so you played the desktop like you play a piano. Well, I almost dropped out of Stanford to do this. I was so excited. But then I got the prototypes, and it turns out your leg cramps after 20 or 30 minutes, and it's very dirty down there, so the mouse got pretty gross. So luckily, I stayed and graduated, like all of you. I didn't give up on new ideas, and 10 years after discarding the foot mouse, we started Netflix. At first, we mailed a lot of DVDs, but then streaming got fast enough to deliver content in seconds instead of days. And our business took off, and we were able to produce amazing series like Stranger Things and Squid Game. I know many of you will invent all kinds of things, from personal drones that transport you anywhere to robots with a sense of humor, maybe even the cure for the hangover. But I really hope that you focus on one area in particular, climate change. A lot of conversation around climate change is around reducing emissions from the rich world, which is something we need to do to buy us more time. But it only really buys us some time. Ultimately, using less of everything delays disaster. It doesn't prevent disaster. Moreover, people in poverty around the world, they need and deserve more energy, more steel, more cement, all of which emits a lot of CO2. The looming crisis, it can feel overwhelming, but I'm confident your generation will find a way to invent our way out of the greenhouse. We need better electricity storage and transmission for intermittent solar and wind. We need clean and safe nuclear. We need cost-effective green cement and steel and carbon capture technology and so much more. Green solutions need to be better solutions than their carbon-intensive predecessor. Just like electric cars today are now better than gasoline cars. There are thousands of inventors in this university, and we need all of you. 200 years ago, Malthus predicted mass starvation as the population grew. But we invented mechanized farming, hybrid seeds, fertilizer, and much more. Today, with a population 10 times larger than Malthus had, we have many problems, but food production is not one of them. Human beings invent their way out of crisis. Being in Silicon Valley, you're already very aware of the power of invention. The power of story, however, might be less obvious. You all know many stories from Animal Farm to Silent Spring and perhaps Don't Look Up. But today I'm going to talk about the broader notion of story, creative ideas that we mostly accept as fact and that have helped us cooperate at great scale to move humanity forward. When an eye for an eye of the Old Testament gave way to turn the other cheek from the New Testament, it was a huge moral advance and a reduction in violence. An old story was that governments derived their legitimacy from being descended from the king. And that gave way to governments deriving their legitimacy from the consent of the governed, which triggered the American and French and many other revolutions against the monarchy. And the stories continued to evolve. For example, the civil rights movement expanded the idea that all members of society deserve to have their voices heard. As historian Yuval Harari points out, money, corporations, law, many other aspects of modern life are just widely accepted stories. The dollar bill is not very useful as a piece of paper to write on or eat or burn, and yet we accept it as having value, and so it does. Humans are very adept at turning useful stories into accepted facts. Think about human rights. The more we believe that humans have rights, the more rights we have. We are working to expand the universe of human rights so that they get more widely accepted as fact. These are good stories, constructive stories. But like with inventions, the wrong stories can be incredibly destructive. For several centuries, it was very profitable for white society to evangelize the story that black people were subhuman and therefore could be enslaved. Nazism and the idea of the innate superiority of the Aryan people is a more recent falsehood which also led to untold human suffering. Recovering from these evil stories is a multi-generational effort. That's why any story we hear, especially when it is widely accepted, should trigger something else. Doubt. Doubt is so important. Take time every day to examine different beliefs and stay skeptical. Doubt is an essential counterbalance to story, and one that we should keep developing as we struggle to be more independent thinkers and better human beings. My heartbreak is two stories in particular that my generation failed to fully develop, which is why I'm passing the baton to all of you. They're about equality and interdependence. When Karl Marx rejected the exploitative factories of the 1880s, his story was about replacing the bosses with the dictatorship of the proletariat, power to the people. Unfortunately, we came to learn that dictatorships of any flavor stifle human flourishing. We need a new story around equality, something beyond Margaret Thatcher and Karl Marx that bonds together the very lucky and less lucky. By very lucky, I mean those born beautiful, healthy, athletic, intelligent, empathetic, those born in peaceful countries to caring parents, and those who got bedtime stories read to them every night. Many of you, like me, have won several of these lotteries and have also worked hard to build on that luck. So what is the duty of the more lucky to the less lucky? In the natural world, it is zero. The lion feels no obligation towards the lamb. In the human world, it is much different. In the United States, we tell ourselves a story about rugged individualism, which encourages people to work hard and keep what they produce without the obligation to share much with others around the world. My generation did not find a new story that provides the moral backbone to an era of common prosperity for both the very lucky and less lucky. I hope you find such a story which changes human behavior towards each other. Another story my generation had only partial success in is the interdependence for preventing war. For almost 1,000 years, major European countries fought each other virtually nonstop. Then after World War II, the European leaders said, never again. They worked to tie countries like Germany and France together economically, the basic idea behind the European Union, and it worked. Today, the EU is not perfect, but it has succeeded at avoiding war in core Europe longer than ever before. France and Britain may squabble in football, but it's not the Hundred-Year War of the 1400s. The story of European identity is a huge success. Now, on a global scale, this story fell flat. Leaders in my generation have been working to economically knit the whole world together through trade so that war between any two countries would be unthinkable. We worked so hard and we were this close to delivering to you a world of peaceful interdependence and without war. But as we've seen with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, we failed. And now the world is decoupling into hostile blocks. Our story about how globalization inhibits war wasn't good enough. That's why it's up to your generation to come up with a better story about the connection between countries, one that is more powerful, more heartfelt than globalization. A story that can end war. Inventions and stories. One is about harnessing the natural world. The other is about harnessing the human spirit. One is about generating more power and prosperity. The other about generating large-scale human cooperation. Both are avenues for progress. Now, at this point, some of you are probably thinking, this is all well and good, but I need some downtime. I just spent 4 years working my butt off. Can't I get a little time to Netflix and chill before I have to go out and save the world? The answer is, of course, yes, which brings me to my final point. We all know the story of the tortoise and the hare. Some of you will be hares, getting your first jobs at Bain and Google and Goldman, curing your first disease or making your first billion by 30. I hope you stay grounded with all that early success. Others of you will be tortoises and start out slow. Maybe your path won't be clear, or you'll keep starting over in different areas. You'll read the class notes 5 years in and wonder about yourself for not doing as well as your classmates, and then you'll chastise yourself for thinking that way. Please, if you're a tortoise, embrace it. Collect experiences and wisdom that will serve you later on. Applaud your hare friends and their successes, but don't let it bother you. And when you are older, you will love each other more if you accept each other's different paths. I was more tortoise than hare. I didn't have my first romance until I was 20. After undergrad, I taught high school math for a few years in the Kingdom of Eswatini. And when I eventually made it to grad school here at Stanford, I was far behind my classmates and I wondered why I had spent so much time in Africa. In hindsight, the challenges I faced as a teacher gave me the resilience and empathy to be a better CEO. I didn't start Netflix until I was 37. I didn't figure out the value of real honesty until marriage counseling made me realize how often I said one thing but did another. I learned, and Patty and I are celebrating our 31st anniversary this summer. My point is, if you're a tortoise, emotionally, economically, intellectually, artistically, or otherwise, don't despair. You have the rest of your life to create the inventions and stories the world needs. Michelangelo talked about releasing a statue from a block of marble, as if the statue had its own destiny, and he was simply its handmaid. I think of ideas in the same way. They have their own destiny, and our job as handmaids is to help these ideas burst out of their marble block. Graduates, carve your marble blocks until you release the invention or story that is yearning to breathe. I know you can do it. You grew up on the farm. Congratulations, class of 2022.